Welcome to the Resentment-Free Relationships Podcast. I'm Becky Smith, your certified life coach, here to help you go from exhausted and resentful to feeling connected and confident in your relationships. Are you ready? Let's go. Hello and welcome to the podcast this week. As I promised last week, here is part two of my conversation with Kristen Rutter about the Faith Matters Conference. Enjoy.
So tell me, I'd love to hear, what were some of your takeaways?
So Jared Halvorson, which I really like him. I've watched his video on YouTube about contraries like probably three or four times and don't feel like I've totally grasped it yet. I probably need to sit down with like a pen and paper and take notes on it.
I actually ended up teaching a class on it because it was more for me than for anyone else, because when you teach something, you learn it.
Right.
And I needed to learn about contraries and being able to hold two things that seem in opposition, and that there is more of an and than an or. It's not Yes. justice or mercy. It's justice and mercy.
Yes. So many like that. And I've heard it said in different ways lately that I'm connecting that are all the same thing. Like you were saying, truth comes at us through yoga and comes at us through this way, but it's all truth, right? Because you can feel it, it resonates. So there's that, the law of the contraries. Another way of saying that is just paradox, right?
Yeah.
Another way that Gretchen Rubin says it is that the opposite of a great truth is also a great truth.
Ooh.
There's a book by Kate Holbrook called Both Things Are True. It's the same thing. She takes two opposites and hold them together and shows how both things are true. Anyway, that isn't even what he talked about, but that's just how I knew him. And so I was excited to hear from him. But what he really talked about is the scripture, James 1:5, and the highlights of that scripture. I'm not reading the whole scripture, but was, let them ask and abrade not. I just loved how he tied that into if someone's having a faith crisis, a faith transition, whatever, faith expansion, whatever you want to call it, to let them ask, make it safe for them to ask. And I never really, we hear these weird terms in scripture, like abrade, and I have a vague sense of what it is, but he's, you know, abrade means to look down on someone and judge someone. And so let them ask without judging them, without looking down on them. And he's saying that this scripture is actually how our church came to be, because God was saying, yes, you can ask. I'm going to let you ask. It just kept going to create safety to ask questions. Don't look down on people. It just reminded me of all we're taught in coaching, because in coaching, we are taught to hold space, to be non-judgmental. It's the same thing. It's just different words, right?
Yes.
And to see that other person as whole. They're not broken. We're not there to fix them. It's the same thing if somebody is having a faith crisis, someone in your family, your spouse, or yourself, that you need to let yourself ask, you need to let them ask, and you need to not abrade them. Yes. You need to make it safe, hold space for them. And it's just in some ways like these truths, I'm like, how many different ways can I learn the same thing? And how many different times do I have to learn the same thing? But I realize that's just life, because you learn it on a different level every time. Some other things he says was just, don't get defensive when somebody is telling you about their faith journey. And also don't get offensive. Don't come to them with, hey, I have this conference talk, or you should read this article. And then he just empathy and understanding. He talked about how behind every inquiry is an individual. So they might present with this certain question, but you need to like actually look behind that and like, why are they asking that question? He had a story about a missionary who presented with a faith crisis, but turns out that wasn't even the problem. The problem was that his mission was super hard and he wanted to go home. So he just thought if he made it a faith crisis that he could get out of it. Anyway, so just understand what's coming behind that. Just validate the experiences that they've had and that you've had, and just be non-invasive and non-judgmental of people. And non-invasive is you ask, but you don't pry. You leave it alone, and then you're not judgmental about it.
Yeah.
Just to realize that if anybody is going through a faith crisis, that it often feels like the sky is falling and that your world is totally like crumbling, falling apart. So to be really gentle with them, with all these things that he was saying.
I think it was in his talk that it was like, be the safe person for someone to ask a question of.
Yes.
Be that safe person.
Yeah. And that's what I want to be. And to any of my listeners out there who are struggling with their faith, and doesn't have to be in my church, it can be any kind of faith. If you want to have a conversation, you want to talk to me, or you're resonating with Kristen and you want to talk to her about it, that's what we do. We hold space. That's our job. And we've also had experience with it. So anyway, just a little plug there.
Yeah, totally. And it's nice to be able to talk to somebody that is not connected directly to your faith. Like,
yeah,
it's hard to talk to a spouse or to a parent.
Oh, because they're so invested in it. I was just thinking of those who have a mixed faith marriage and how hard that would be, because like all the rules of my marriage are set up around my faith. And so when that crumbles, that would be really hard. Yeah. And to talk to the other person about that would be really hard.
And the other thing I love about coaching is that as a coach, I am not telling people what they should do.
For sure.
I am just a place, and I help them to discover what they really want and what they really feel and what's holding them back and what they need to move forward, mm-hmm. how they want, like getting clarity over how they want to move forward.
Yeah.
That's my job. So yes. When somebody comes to us, it's not like we have an agenda that we're trying to talk them into staying or trying to talk them into going or thinking that they should do something one way or the other.
Yes.
It's just about helping them to discover what they really desire and what will work for them and the values that they honor.
Yeah. I thought his whole talk was just basically describing coaching. And I was like, thank you. You just validated my profession.
Yes.
So yes. I really like that. But he never said anything like that. But that's what I took out of it. Did you want to add anything else to his?
His, in conjunction with Patrick Mason's, which was on the day that you weren't there.
Okay.
And Patrick Mason, he's the one who wrote Planted. And he's a voice for kind of this nuanced. He also wrote the book Restore. He's just opening up a lot of conversations. Mm-hmm. And he and his wife have started opening up their home to young adults to come every other Sunday. And it is just a place to discuss things of the soul, things that are hard.
Yeah.
And I remember as he's talking about this, the first thought is like, he said, people always think this, and this is exactly what I thought, is how do you keep it from going off the rails? And he said, I don't say a thing. And these young adults figure it out as they're talking. And I just remember Emily Bell Freeman was talking to her daughter, Grace Freeman, and Grace said something to the effect of, just trust us. These young adults, just trust them. Trust in their goodness. Trust in their ability. I know for a lot of young adults, it's that their hearts are so big and inclusive that it's hard when they feel like that's not part of their religion.
Right.
When that's the framework that they're looking through, they're looking at things, then that's really uncomfortable for them and very hard.
Yeah.
But just trusting in their goodness and in that they're figuring it out.
Yes.
This is a long game.
Yeah. It's an eternity.
It's an eternity. And how long do we allow people? You've heard that term that Brooke Snow talks about, long allowing.
Mm-hmm.
So charity is long suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look up suffering in the story where Christ is calling the children to him in the New Testament, and it says, suffer the children to come to me. Down in the footnote, the Greek is allow. Mm-hmm. The Greek word for suffer is allow. And so when you put that translation into the about charity, it's long allowing. Mm-hmm. Like long allowing your children to have their journey, or having long allowing your spouse, giving them the space and the time that they need, not to do it how you're doing it, mm-hmm. but to figure it out, right?
Yeah, so true.
So I love that part. Anyway, Patrick Mason saying, can we be that place where people feel safe enough to just gather and discuss kind of difficult topics? And I was like, oh, I love
that. That's why I have this podcast, really. Not that I'm seeking out difficult topics, but just that I want to be able to be real and be me and just talk about what's on my mind. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's so good.
Then my last one was just Jodie Moore, the interview that Aubrey did with her. I talked about one of the things that Aubrey brought up that are people's fears, but there were two more. First one was just feeling like you don't belong. Second one was, I'm afraid the church is doing harm and I'm complicit in staying.
Hmm.
That one hit for me. I was like, oh, yeah, other people feel that way too. Then the third one was, women are valued less than men. Those are some really hard ones. I don't have anything really to say or add about that, to just know that those are things that people struggle with, including myself, to just have that out in the open. I like some of the things that she said, that Jodie said about that though, which is belonging. What does it mean to belong? Should I belong? How do I want to feel when I go to church? Just like questioning it. Yeah. I really liked that about the belonging thing. I liked what she said on the second one about the church doing harm. Is she just owned it and said, some people have, but I'm here to change that. I'm going to stay in it and I'm going to raise my hand when I think that something is harmful, and I'm going to be a part of the change. Just like you were saying, the whole body of Christ and the body of church. And she brought that up too, that often people she coaches say the church this and the church that, when she's, who's the church?
I loved that part.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh yeah, we're the church. Because I want to think, no, it's the guys in Salt Lake in that office building.
Yes.
So I was like, no, she's right. We're the church. The epiphany that I took away from all of that she was saying for me was, it's just like with your parents. You know, when you're younger, you think your parents are just amazing and they hung the moon and they can't do anything wrong. And then you grow up and you start to realize, oh, like, they made some mistakes and this wasn't right, or this wasn't right. And then you have your own kids and then you realize how hard it is. And then maybe you're a little more empathetic. But just with my parents, I am like, I know they loved me. I know they made mistakes and they're human, and I'm not going to disown them or throw them out in any way, but I will call out the things that were, hey, that probably wasn't right or great. And I'm going to try to do things a little different, but I still love you as a parent. I still think you're amazing. I'm still so glad for all the things you taught me. That's how I feel about the church. And I'm part of that church, right? But I'm part of that family. So I don't know if that makes sense, but it's just like, that growing up we have to do, where we forgive our parents and we have to forgive ourselves, and I have to forgive the whole body of the church for being human and making mistakes, and also acknowledging that they have made mistakes and that I've made mistakes, and that it's okay and that I can stay. I can stay.
Yes. And I feel a deep sense of commitment to stay for the change, just like you were talking about, right?
Yeah.
If everybody who feels like, wait a second, what's going on here, leaves, we want diversity within the church.
Yeah.
I loved the video that they played about Why Church.
If yes.
If listeners get a chance to look up Why Church from Faith, it's really good. And one of the speaker said to her, I love to go to church to be with like-minded people. And she says, I actually love to go to church to be with people who challenge my thinking, who aren't like me.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too when she said that. I was like, yeah, that's not why I go to church.
Yes. And I just, like, it just changes that, just that little shift, that little insight mm-hmm. that I don't have to think exactly like everyone else.
Yeah.
How do I become, one of the thoughts that I've been pondering and thinking about is how do I show up as a modern disciple of Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
What does a modern disciple of Jesus Christ look like? It's been really good for me to think about that.
I like that because that implies that it's new, that it's something that hasn't been done before. So we're not going to look to the past to figure out how we should be. And we're going to go full circle back what you said in the beginning of trusting ourselves, finding our own inner authority through God, through the Spirit, but not looking so much for a prescription, for transaction, for I do this and then I get this, but more of that hear him, personal revelation, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I loved that.
So that's pretty much all my notes from the conference.
How did you feel at the end?
I felt heard and mm-hmm. seen, which isn't that funny because I didn't say a word. I wasn't up on stage, but yeah. And that's how I would say I feel when I feel God's love, is I feel personally heard and seen and witnessed. I sat next to some really nice ladies that totally took me in. I was there by myself and we went to lunch together and we heard each other's stories. And I felt such kindred spirits. And yeah, that's what I want the gospel to be. And I honestly believe that is what Zion is. That is what unity is. And it was just a little glimpse of it. That's what I took away from it. What about you?
Much the same thing. I also loved this idea that they talked about with the compass.
Oh, yes. Around, yes.
Where the point goes in the middle and it's how you draw a circle. Mm-hmm. And the middle part stays anchored. It's mm-hmm. where you plant it, right?
Yes.
And then you have this reaching foot that reaches out to find truth.
Yeah.
And all truth can be circumscribed, right? Into right. one hole.
Yes.
And you can just picture that compass doing that. And I love that it is a place that feels safely anchored in the gospel of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
but it's looking for truth in all of these places.
Yes.
And I loved that. That yes. speaks to my soul. It speaks to my soul that there is truth in all things.
Yes, me too. Very much. And like you were saying with yoga, how it came in a different way to, for me, I almost need to hear it outside of the gospel a lot of times for it to resonate completely with me, because I was just so saturated and grown up in the gospel. I grew up in a town of 300 people and 299 of those people were members of the church. And so yeah. It's just very enmeshed. It was everything. It's probably why I resonate with coaching and with yoga and with a lot of different things, because I do need to hear different perspectives and different angles on it for it to resonate really truly with me.
I'm so honored to get to talk to you about that and to hear your story. And to, I just hope you feel how much I love and appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Kristen. As we finish, can you let my audience know how they would get in touch with you if they're interested in working with you, or if they just want to have a conversation, or just any way to hear more from you, maybe your Instagram or anything like that?
Yes. My Instagram is kristen.ruttercoaching, and my website is kristenruttercoaching.com. If you go there, I have a resource that's called 5 Ways to Connect to Yourself, God, and Others That You Didn't Learn in Sunday School, or something like that.
Yeah.
But it helps you to connect to your spiritual self mm-hmm. in a simple way. So that's available on my website.
Okay, awesome. So check that out. And once again, thank you so much, Kristen.
Thank you.
Hey, did you know that I offer Marco Polo coaching? That's right. It's coaching on your time. You don't have to set aside an hour a week to talk to me, but you can do it in little bits of time that you have throughout your day. It is a really affordable way to get one-on-one coaching with me in your time. So send me a DM, send me an email, and let's get started today.